reach back in your memory, a little bell might ring about a time that once existed when money wasn't king. If you stretch your imagination, I'll tell you all a tale about a time when everything wasn't up for sale. There was this cat named Johnny who loved to play and sing when money wasn't king. We'd all get so excited when John would give a show. We'd raise the cash between us and down the road we'd go. It spoke right to my soul. Every verse a diamond and every chorus gold. The sound was my salvation. It was only everything before money became king.
All right, you could stop it there. When money, before money became king, you know, he was upsetting some of the people here towards the end there with some of that stuff. And maybe he, just like Prince talking about the chemtrails and Michael Jackson talking about that snake, Tommy Mottola, and his comments about Jews and stuff. Anyway, so Mr. Producer, we're going to play a little bit of clip 8. Go ahead and do that, would you?
While the government lets Canada burn, they blame climate change. But other than all the fires, nothing significant has changed. And the massive amount of wildfires just started a few years ago. So what happened? Over 90% of wildfires are caused by humans. And many of them are intentional, which is known as arson. During the surge of wildfires along the west coast of the United States a few years ago, several people were arrested for arson, including a 41-year-old man who admitted to starting 11 fires. Security cameras show people's houses being set on fire. A homeowner caught an arsonist dressed in all black. And a member of black-clad terrorist organization Antifa was arrested for arson in Washington State. Just months before the 2020 wildfires, Extinction Rebellion published a poster with a burning forest and the words, "Declare a climate emergency." And in Canada, in 2021, a woman was charged with 32 counts of arson connected to numerous wildfires in northeast Alberta. Last year in British Columbia, a 42-year-old woman was arrested and charged with 4 counts of arson. And this year, there is much more. In Alberta, the RCMP are searching for a suspect after a fire broke out in Grand Prairie. The suspected arsonist was reportedly wearing all black. The RCMP's Serious Crime Branch, the Forestry Crimes Unit, have been investigating multiple wildfires and arsons, and a 29-year-old man has been charged with 10 counts of arson. In Nova Scotia, the RCMP believe at least 3 of the fires in Pictou County were arson. Satellite imagery shows that on June 2nd, most of southeast Quebec went up in flames at the same time, which demonstrates a highly coordinated arson attack. Somewhere between Wyoming and California, 30 tons of ammonium nitrate reportedly disappeared from a train. Ammonium nitrate can be used as an explosive, and it can also be used as an accelerant. On its own, ammonium nitrate will not burn under a flame, but mix it with sawdust, and it quickly ignites and burns everything it can. And now the federal government of Canada is creating a special national disaster response agency, their very own FEMA. They create the problem, and your reaction demands that they provide a solution. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
There. And all over the place, we've got radical eco-terrorist groups planned Summer of Chaos to disrupt America. And it talks about Extinction Rebellion and Declare Emergency, one of its little franchises. And so there was leaked information from a video conference that revealed European activists had been training new recruits in the U.S., teaching them strategies to raise funds, increase membership, blah, blah, blah. Well, what do you think you got little Castro doing up there in Canada? This is probably all on top of Extinction Rebellion, blah, 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 and all the Soros and whatever kind of other Tides Foundation or whatever is involved in this. You've got the state that's signing off on it. You got a freaking hardcore Marxist revolutionary in running Canada right now at the behest of the Schwabites and the Crown, old Queen Charles, and all these other people that are all buddied up. So we've got a real interesting phenomenon that we have to keep an eye on here. Personally, I think if you're caught red-handed doing arson like that, it's death penalty. You know, all the animals, all the forestry that you're going to destroy, that's death penalty stuff to me. You know, and I think about the Monroe Doctrine, like it or not, if we were an honest country, if we were decent and, you know, like de Tocqueville said, America's great because America's good back in, you know, if we had that back, you would have to decapitate the regimes in Mexico and Canada for American national security. You've got the cartels and the CCP operating in concert down south of us, and then you've got Communist International stooge Trudeau. He's, you know, he's a little worm. Vancouver and that side of Canada is already getting infested with Chinese, and look at the border now with Biden and the Obama gang that's running the show behind the old fool or whoever that is, the invasion going on here now with many of them being Chinese. And you've still got these people saying that COG is in place. This is all theater. You know, all these people, Biden is an actor wearing a rubber mask and he's already been killed at Gitmo, and all this goofy stuff that we see floating around. And the same military that brought us warp speed and all the goofy nano stuff that I just covered with James Giordano and Fauci and what was her name from DARPA and Motorola with her wearable tattoos. Her name's escaping me now. But all these people, you see, the good white hats in the military, they're going to set up tribunals. And all the evil people that have been doing all of this treasonous activity. No, her name was Regina Dugan, by the way. All this treasonous activity over all these decades, they're all going to go before the warp speed military tribunals, you see, and the same people that have just shot up their entire military forces with these shots. These are secretly white hats, and they're going to do tribunals on. This is the narrative that people are trying to, you know, string us down. And it's just it's such cognitive dissonance to trust on military tribunals when the military just forced all of their members to take these shots. I mean, oh boy, we're in a world of hurt here with our discernment. Okay. So let's get clip five ready, Mr. Producer, and think about this. And I'm going to talk about real estate tax here in St. Louis County. I just got a, let's just say, infuriating note from the assessor, the county assessor's office, right? And everybody I know in St. Louis County has gotten one. But let's listen to a little BlackRock information. Go ahead and roll clip five.
You may be asking yourself, what has BlackRock done to develop such a negative reputation in the eyes of the public? What has BlackRock achieved through its infiltration into government? How about buying up an entire town's worth of family homes throughout America that they deflected as multifamily properties, apartment complexes, and other residential real estate? A move which prevents entire communities of young families from buying real estate, keeping them trapped in renting due to upward shift in mortgage prices caused by their monopolistic control over the market. Even in the world of finance, where BlackRock dominates, they will attempt to swallow up anything that moves, even dying firms like Credit Suisse, as it was reported that they were working on a rival bid to bail out their negligent banker friends as part of their plan to expand out their reach further across Europe. Or how about their large-scale profiteering from the tragic war in Ukraine, where BlackRock not only gains from its 16% share of weapons maker Sturm, Ruger & Co., their 6% holdings of Lockheed Martin, 5% of Boeing, 4% of General Dynamics, 6% of Northrop Grumman, and 7% of Raytheon, but also from their exclusive agreement with the government of Ukraine to spearhead the building of Ukraine. And who would have recommended BlackRock step in to finance this? None other than Eric von Nostrand, BlackRock's very own managing director turned senior advisor on economic issues tied to Russia and Ukraine. This agreement, which concerns the $1 trillion worth of damages to Ukraine, will continue to grow by an estimated $4 billion every single week, with the final figure being tallied up and taken out in loans provided by BlackRock, who will stand to make multiple billions on interest. The horrific part isn't that BlackRock is profiteering from this series of tragic events, nor is it that they achieved this deal through exerting their lobbying power in the US government, as well as in the Swiss Alpine town of Davos, where the World Economic Forum meets. The most sinister part about BlackRock's activities revolving Ukraine is that through winning this state-mandated monopolistic deal to run all of the investment that Ukraine is going to receive, BlackRock loses all real incentive to lobby for peace. A scenario has been created where BlackRock profits no matter what, and profits at greater margins given that the war is extended. Therefore, the incentive for BlackRock is to create as much chaos as possible, all in the sake of their profits. Simply put, BlackRock only cares about power and money. The morality of obtaining such things.
So Biden and Kamala, both, they're like chief economic advisors, are both people straight out of BlackRock. And then BlackRock's balls deep in all the weapons manufacturers. But then they're also basically saying, yeah, we're going to be the ones doling out all the goodies when we rebuild Ukraine. The ancient Khazaria, by the way, for all of you. And I'm sure most of you know that. But they're also heavily involved in all this fossil fuel, quote unquote, which we know is not fossil fuels. I'm just using the term that, you know, because oil is not a fossil fuel. I was going to play some Fletcher Prouty. Maybe I did last week. I can't remember. But yeah. And the movie that I was talking about was Fantastic Voyage. The producer sent me that message, Fantastic Voyage. But yeah, so BlackRock. And we've been talking about this, buying up all these homes and blah, 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 blah. And then they're heavily invested in everything. And so they're all into this ESG crap, environmental social governance. But yet they're heavily invested in coal and oil and all this other stuff. And so this is all just one big scam. You know, you can drive up prices. You know, when you go to war on coal, you make it much more expensive. The people that are probably buddy-buddy with all the goons, and they still get to operate, but they get to operate at a much higher price. Just like Walmart used to come into these small towns, make everything super cheap. The little guy get drove out of business, then Walmart can set whatever price they want because they're the only game left in town. Well, I just got a letter from the assessor's office. And this is mind-blowing, and I've been sending out emails, and hopefully people pick this up into the alternative media. I sent Gateway Pundit and all these others. So they're saying in 1 year's time, listen to this, in 1 year's time, my property here in St. Louis County has went up in value over $30,000 in 1 year's time, which is going to raise my real estate tax that I pay, which is already high, over $700 more. So they're just saying, hey, your property was worth this last year. You little goy, you little sucker. It's worth $30,000 more this year in 1 year. And then the producer said same thing happening down there in Round Rock. And then guess what? Most of the money goes to the rotten Karens, the fat Karens teaching kids to be trannies and gay and everything else, and wearing, you know, they're the ones with Pride Month, everything. You know, that's where the lion's share of the money goes, to the school district. So, yeah, just mind-blowing, crazy stuff. And let's see here. Let's get clip 7 ready while we're on this ESG stuff. This is Catherine Austin Fitz and her partner in crime that do videos together. Let's go ahead and roll 7.
Next story is from the Mail Online in UK. Does a mm-hmm. really good job of describing how ESG mafia works.
Right.
How your 401k savings are being used to turn our biggest brands woke, as revealed by ex-Anheuser-Busch exec, who shows you how you can fight back at the cash register. Well, yeah, not really. He doesn't say that. So we're talking about, what are we talking about here? We're talking about Bud Light, that's Anheuser-Busch, with transgender Dylan Mulvaney. Target with the women's clothing for biological men with tuck-friendly construction. And, you know, and these other companies, Nike, Calvin Klein, North Face, even the Dodgers, have been criticized for wading into America's culture wars. What is going on? Why is it that companies that were once happy to sell clothes and beverages and nostalgia to Americans of all political stripes now appear to be taking sides in contentious political fights? What's up? We go through this cast of characters. Well, let's look at BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. They control more than $20 trillion in assets. These big three, he calls them, are proponents of what's called stakeholder capitalism. Okay? This is a great explanation of what that is. That is the belief that businesses should be run not only to increase the value to shareholders, but to serve all stakeholders, including government agencies, activists, and non-governmental organizations. Very helpful. Stakeholder capitalism is... it's a euphemism for we're going to do whatever we want. Okay? There's more unpleasant pictures. The big three began to issue guidelines on how they expected their portfolio companies to honor this commitment to being woke, basically, by implementing so-called environmental, social, and governance, or ESG. So this group determines the big three who sits on corporate boards. They send out, you know, and they make these companies do racial equity audits. They employ large engagement teams to pressure CEOs for progress on ESG, and on, just on and on and on about how these companies.
So there's a crack because not that long ago, we did a heroic act to the head of Vanguard, Tim Buckley.
Yeah.
Who did an after dropping from the Net Zero, did an interview with Financial Times, basically explaining why ESG doesn't work. Which was quite shocking, you know. Right. And so if you look at the index funds and BlackRock, Vanguard, and the other basically index, you know, their prominence is index funds.
Yeah.
If you look at who's pushing this, it has to be more than just them. And you know, the time has come when I got to go figure out, because the states are pushing back. And if you look at who's getting someone like Anheuser-Busch to wipe 10% of the value off their stock? I mean, if I was a pension fund and owned Anheuser-Busch, I would be roaring in and say, who do you think you are? to wipe 10% off of our stock, you know, by doing something suicidal. But I would love to know the exact institutional mechanism that this is coming in on, because it's more than just the index funds. There's something else going on in the strategic governance and behind it in America. But there is a push to get these companies, and you saw it during the pandemic. You saw companies that literally committed suicide, and they did it because somebody was ordering them. And I want to figure out the mechanism by which, you know, because there are rumors that these guys have, they have contracts with the deep state, you know, with the national security infrastructure. And if they break the contract, they go to jail.
Oh.
And that means they're taking orders not from their shareholders. They're taking orders from a third party.
From the
now, you saw that.
Yeah.
Right. I saw that in Washington. You would have a company where the shareholders thought they owned the company. The management thought they were running the company. But the Department of Justice and the government, you know, was providing enormous amounts of real estate subsidy or real estate financing. And the government would literally intercede and make them change the policy. So the board or the management would make a decision, and then they get a call, and suddenly it's reversed. And you've got this multiple personality, because the CEO doesn't run the company. The CEO doesn't run the company, and the board doesn't run the company, and the investors don't run the company. You know, the Department of Justice runs the company.
All right, you can stop that. Very fascinating stuff there, huh? Well, this is up on altmarket.us. ESG dystopia, why corporations are doubling down on woke even as they lose billions. And I'm skipping down a part where it says, 20 years ago, the name in the game of the business world was brand building. If you could build your brand and gain market loyalty, you could sustain your profit model for decades to come. Now corporations are actually willing to destroy the very brands they spent so much time and money developing, all in the name of political idolatry. It seems like pure madness, but what if they know something we don't? What if they are riding out an engineered economic crisis so that they can be rewarded later with too woke to fail riches? My theory is that while ESG lending appears to be dying today, tomorrow ESG lending will be the only way any company will be able to survive. We need to start considering the future possibility of globally institutionalized ESG. The frightening notion of central bank ESG financing has been circulating ever since the early days of the COVID pandemic. From the BIS to the Fed to the ECB, numerous programs begin to surface with woke connotations, most of them initially focused on climate change, with central banks suddenly taking an interest in saving the planet from a carbon threat that doesn't exist. Now there's a rising chorus of DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, and social equity babble coming from the central banks as well. Maybe international banks are limited in how they engage in ESG lending, but what about central banks? This is the Rothschilds. This is the Vatican. This is the crown. What if they drop their facade of being politically neutral and come out full force in support of the woke mind virus? What if the central banks become the foundation of ESG? Wouldn't woke lending then become perpetual? I believe that is exactly what is intended to happen, but it would have to be tied directly to an economic crisis as well as the introduction of CBDCs. A debt crisis along with stagflation could force a majority of companies into a corner. With lack of funds, falling consumer spending, and tightening loan market, central banks and stimulus measures would once again become the only financial mechanism for rebuilding the economy. Governments would also be beholden to central banks as a means to stay afloat, and this means the bankers will have immense influence on how money is distributed and how wealth is reallocated. Now think about that. If the end goal is mass depopulation, of course they want this LGBTQ 2S plus P, whatever this, we're calling it now, because then people don't reproduce. This is the ultimate goal, is to take down large swaths of the numbers of humans on this planet. Okay, and this is, you know, most of us can connect these dots, but it's very, very fascinating. Now let's get clip 11 ready, Mr. Producer. This ties in with the agenda even further. Go ahead and roll it.
When it rains, it pours. Usually it's just one port, but we got the whole Pacific coastline seeming to have issues. Last thing that we need right now in the middle of the summer, supply chain issues. Now in the past, we've seen supply chain issues down in California. We've seen that before, but what we got this time is Seattle, Washington joining the disruption, creating a snowball effect with this SHTF situation. I'm gonna go over what you guys need to know about this, and then we're gonna talk about how this specifically affects you and what you guys need to be aware of and watch out for. So like I said, this is a bigger deal than what y'all think. When it's over $5.2 billion worth of stuff sitting off the coastline that should be coming in the middle of the summer, and lots of issues come from this. So as a lot of you know, I live in Washington State, so Seattle is close to home. And trust me, beautiful state, but not beautifully ran. CNBC reports state of freight, Port of Seattle closed due to ILWU labor strife. This was published Saturday, June 10th, 2023. Today, what is going on in the Port of Seattle? We never get news on the Port of Seattle. PMA announces the Port of Seattle is entirely shut down due to a coordinated labor disruption. Big surprise there this day and age. The Port of Seattle is one of the top maritime ports in North America that U.S. ag exporters rely on to ship their produce and grain. I already know what some of you are thinking. Well, that definitely falls in line. AGTC warns the shutdown tarnishes the reputation of the U.S. ag exports as being reliable. And some of you guys are thinking, is this another attack on our agriculture? Maybe getting that ag produce into the grocery store? As we all know, supposed real agricultural produce doesn't have the shelf life like a can of beans. So what's this all about? The labor strife continues on the West Coast with the announcement of the Port of Seattle shutting down due to the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, the ILWU, refusing to dispatch labor to work at the container terminals. This is according to the announcement by the Pacific Maritime Association, the PMA, which represents the terminals at the ports. So what does that sound like to you? I know some wheels are turning out there. Refusing to dispatch labor to work at the container terminals. Interesting, right? So in whole, regarding the whole West Coast, the West Coast ports have faced continuous worker slowdowns and stoppages all week, where an estimated $5.2 billion of trade is floating off the ports of Los Angeles, Long Beach, and Oakland, and now outside of Seattle as well. So I know some of you are thinking, what type of ag stuff are they sending? The Port of Seattle is one of the top maritime ports in North America that U.S. ag exports rely to ship their produce and grain. Some 40% of the state's Washington jobs are tied to trade. Definitely something fishy here, right? Top trading partners were China, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines, and India in 2022. For some of you that don't know what we're exporting, let me break it down for you. The top six U.S. exports, according to the port's website, includes apples at $2.1 billion, milk at $1.2 billion, cattle at 101 million.
And we know how the labor leaders and the labor unions are completely manipulated by the Democrat kind of deep underground controllers. All right. They can order a strike anytime they want to, let's just say, cause these hiccups. Remember during COVID on Long Beach and all that stuff, you know, you got Marxists running the entire western seaboard there from Washington to California. You've got comm intern jerks, and they're answering to the same people. Really, really crazy. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you.
Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
When the stranger came to town, all the people watched with wonder, and the tattered clothes gathered round and raised their eyes up from the dirt. And the stranger said to them, I have been upon the mountain, I have witnessed forces like cannons that can ram you to the ground.
All right, we are back. Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And I guess I should play a little clip from Trump's speech in North Carolina. You know, the whole indictment scheme and all of this. So he gets indicted basically right at the same time all the bribery stuff comes out on the Biden family. And you know, the American media is basically Pravda, Izvestia, Xinhua. That's what it is. We're under a Soviet system. And, you know, and it's been an incremental Sovietization. When I was growing up as a kid in the 70s and in the early 80s as a teenager, there were a lot of hardy people in this country that didn't take no crap. At the local level here where I live, it was, you know, cops were a lot more proactive about things, but now it's just they pulled the cops back to the point where this is purposeful anarchy to make things so bad that they are going to bring in some sort of a federalized, you know, you're seeing foreigners getting sworn in to be cops and all this. We talked about this last week. You're going to have all these people are getting sucked into the Pentagon, all these so-called refugees, these invaders. Quick path to citizenship. You just become a Marine, you become a soldier, you become a sailor, you become an airman. And these people have no loyalty to the Constitution or limited government or personal rights and the Bill of Rights and any of that. They'll just do what they're told. They're on a fast track to citizenship. You need to go kill that gringo. I'll kill the gringo. You see, this is what we're dealing with. So let's listen to Trump talk about the communists. Go ahead and play clip 10.
At the end of the day, either the communists destroy America or we destroy the communists. And never forget what the demented persecution of our movement is all about. Our enemies are desperate to stop us because they know that we are the only ones who can stop them. We're the only ones that can do it. Small group, relatively small group, but we can stop them cold, and we will. And we would have had them stop cold, and they know that. And they cheated like dogs. They cheated like nobody's ever cheated before. You turn on your television at 10 o'clock, you would have said, Pennsylvania's a lock. We were up by so much, a lock. All of a sudden, you see that big dump at 3:02 or whatever it was in the morning. It's a disgrace what happened. What's happening to our country is a disgrace. But I promise you this, if you put me back in the White House, their reign will be over and America will be a free nation once again.
All right, you can stop it there. Hey, nice platitudes, Trump. Warp speed, Trump. I mean, look, do I think we'd be in a better spot right now if the selection process was, carried out in a fairer fashion? Sure, I think we'd be in a much better place as a country if Trump would have stayed in the presidency. Now, Does that mean that I forgive him for warp speed and still standing on the vaccines and these shots and so forth? No, I don't. Is DeSantis or Mike Pence or Vivek Ramaswamy or any of the other cast of characters? You know, you got people in the alternative media say that RFK Jr. Oh yeah, rah rah rah. And look, I do have some affinity towards him just due to the fact of what's happened to his family. But that doesn't negate the fact that he's a climate change guy and quite possibly hostile to Second Amendment and things of this nature. We'll have to see how this plays out. But I'm not thrilled at all about the political landscape right now. I'm just ambivalent about it. I'm pretty much resigned myself to realize the fact of how far toward Sovietization we are. And now we have basically Cheka NKVD running around, locking people up. And Trump got indicted over goofy stuff. I mean, he was the president. He could declassify whatever the hell he wants. And so he takes whatever he wants out of there. And then, oh, my God, we're getting 288 years. You know, this whole thing. I hate the American media, every bit of it. This up on Mint Press News. The Intercept. Ken Klippenstein has exposed how the Pentagon very quietly launched a new internal division dubbed the Influence and Perception Management Office, IPMO, in March. Remember Keith, Perception Management, Sunday night host? I'm sure they stole your thunder, Keith. The Pentagon, Influence and Perception Management Office. Its existence not strictly secret, although there has been no official announcement of its launch, let alone an explanation from DOD officials. For its modus operandi, its budget likewise remains a mystery, but purportedly runs into the multi-millions. I mean, you know, these are the guys that are going to set up tribunals and save us, though, right? So now this was an interesting article up on Henry Macau. From today. In 2009, Jane Bergmeister predicted COVID hoax to a T. Journalist Jane Bergmeister warned in a 2009 about the plans of a coming centralized world government using a coronavirus pandemic for final power. Let's see. In 1995, Canadian Dr. Ghislaine Langtot warned that the elite and their minions will introduce a compulsory vaccination that will contain a deadly virus, and this will be used specifically as a eugenics weapon for massive and targeted reduction of the world population. You know, remember David Deese and all his graphics from, you know, way back? He had all those great ones about forced vaccinations and all that. Kurt Nemo wrote this in 2009. Considering the track record of the global elite, the government-mandated vaccination program now in the works, as Ghislaine Langtot and Jane Bergmeister warn, will serve the eugenicist plan to populate the planet. A contrived pandemic will also set the final stage for the implementation of martial law and a high-tech surveillance and police state grid. So, you know, I am, and a lot of people are concerned about a false flag Tuesday. Okay, we're in Miami. You got all these people, Carrie Lake, and all these people going down there. So there's a perfect opportunity for a provocateur event. And I've been warning about these pride celebrations, if that's what you call them, all around the country in various cities. You know, you'll have one coming up if you haven't had one already, in some park or some, you know, place in your city. These are ripe targets to run psyops and some sort of provocateur event, mass casualty events. And people have been talking about this. Remember Cyber Polygon, right? Klaus Schwab and these characters. Now, at the build up to 2024, you could have a lot of different things play out. You could have the cyber polygon, this whole kind of grid down scenario, patriots blamed for the grid down, acting in collusion with Russia. So they could throw a large swath of the patriot movement under the bus, saying they colluded with Russia to take down the power grid. They could also activate the payload that's allegedly could quite possibly be embedded in the shots that are lying dormant in millions of people right now, awaiting to be awakened by the special frequency or pulse or whatever. You know, so this is a lot of people you're hearing talk about that. The SPLC, I talked about this last night. on Blackbird Nine show. They're adding parental rights education groups to their hate and extremist lists. Okay, and allegedly the SPLC met with the counterterrorism folks in the so-called Biden administration. Okay, and so, oh, the producer said he's going to play the show that Blackbird Nine and I did last night right after this show. So if you didn't hear it, you want to stay up late and listen to us go back and forth, you'll enjoy that one. But yeah, so eco-terrorists acting a fool this summer. You know, Target caught funding group that pushes for the closure of Mount Rushmore, calling the landmark a symbol of white supremacy. Okay. NDN Collective, whose slogan is Defend, Develop, Decolonize, is based out of South Dakota, and much of its work focuses on issues with the state. It has repeatedly called for the closure of Mount Rushmore, which deemed an international symbol of white supremacy. Isn't that nice? Target's funding them. Now, I found this one kind of funny. The leading rabbi, Jews who harass Christians are not Torah observant. It is a sin. And this is on Israel 365 News. So, Jerusalem Sephardi chief rabbi Shlomo Moshe Amar released a statement on Tuesday condemning the harassment of Christian clerics in Jerusalem. Now, we remember the chief Sephardic rabbi. Oh, the guy was saying all the supremacist stuff, and he died not that long ago, and his name escapes me, but I used to say it all the time on the air. But he said a whole bunch of things about non-Jews and this sort of thing. But this new guy, Rabbi Shlomo Moshe Amar, we were sorry to hear from non-Jewish clergymen that some young Jews, some of whom to pretend to be God-fearing, curse them, desecrate the name of God, and etc., while walking in the city's streets, he wrote in a public letter. There's no doubt that this was done by irresponsible people who are not Torah observant. We declare that such behavior is absolutely forbidden. We must not disrespect any human being who was created in the image of God, et cetera, et cetera. Now, on another article up on Israel 365 News is this one. On the where is this one at? Oh, I lost it. Darn it. But anyway, it's talking about the Jews and Muslims sharing the Temple Mount. Okay, and so this is kind of an interesting move by some of these Israelis to say, hey, we'll share the Temple Mount with you now. Now, whether the Arabs that run the Temple Mount are going to be like, shove it. But it's still kind of interesting that you have some of these moves going on. Muslim kids stomp pride flags at Canadian protests. So we're seeing some of these Armenians in LA who are Armenian Christians pretty much. But you got Islamic people in Canada fighting back against LGBT stuff and stomping on gay and trans pride flags. So it's good to see this break between these Islamic people in the West and this gay mafia. People were saying, how the hell? And look, the Ilhan Omars, the Rashida Tlaibs, these sorts of people, they are all Marxists. And so I've talked about in the past this kind of confluence of radical Marxist nuts, your kind of Islamics, and a lot of your kind of blacktivist groups, the red, black, and the green, all acting in concert. Well, we hope to see
people rejecting Marxism around the world is a big objective, because when you have all these people clicked up into this political bloc, it bodes ill for traditional Americana types. Okay, when you got everybody sucked into this Marxist woke baloney, so it's good to see some cracks in this juggernaut, this monolith of of evil. And so hopefully that continues. Whistleblower claims Ukraine is harvesting child organs, corroborates Russian military reports. Sex trafficking, organ trafficking, biological warfare research, money laundering, who knows the amount of stuff. We saw during the Syrian crisis, some of these Turks allegedly harvesting organs from children and so forth in these makeshift hospital, whatever you want to call it, where they're selling this stuff on the open market. Really, really sick stuff. There was a link in an article I was reading, and this is called The Great Terror in the Ukraine, 1936 through 1938. And I just wanted to read a couple paragraphs here. Background to the Great Terror in the Ukraine. The Ukraine was the largest Soviet republic. It had borders with Poland and Romania, a multi-ethnic population, and powerful economic potential. It played a prominent role in the plans of the Soviet leadership, despite the challenge of Ukrainian nationalist movements in the 1920s. At the end of the 1920s and in the early 1930s, repression became an integral part of Stalin's revolution from above. The Soviet leadership blamed class enemies for the difficulties resulting from modernization. The theme of wreckers in Ukrainian industry was actively promoted to influence public opinion. Stalin stated in May 1928 that the Shakhty case is proof of the presence of active class enemies in our country. The Cheka claimed that those implicated had links with the intelligence agencies of Poland, France, and Germany. Allegations followed about their interactions with military specialists. The Industrial Party trial in Moscow at the end of 1932 continued in the Ukraine with the fabrication of the case of the Ukrainian Engineers Center, which had organizations in factories, mines, and electricity stations, such as the Officers Military Diversionary Wreckers and Espionage Organization in the Donbass. It had contacts with counter-revolutionary organizations that allegedly existed in military garrisons throughout the Ukraine. The Ukrainian Cheka prosecuted the Spring case, which resulted in the mass arrest of former white officers. During the 1932-1933, the Ukraine experienced a catastrophic famine, orchestrated by Stalin. The Cheka intensified the fabrication of cases of counter-revolutionary organizations in both industry and agriculture. Rapid collectivization had been accompanied by dekulakization and the deportation of hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian peasants. See, like Stalin loved deporting people from one part of the Soviet Union to another to break up any nationalist sentiments. During the famine, a wave of state terror overwhelmed the Ukraine. The state security organs arrested 75,000 people in 1932. And a further 125,000 in 1933, a total of 200,000 people in these 2 years. Repression continued in the years that followed, but was less intense in the years preceding the Great Terror. 30,000 people were arrested in the Ukraine in 1934, 25,000 in 1935, 15,000 in 1936. In all, more than 500,000 people were subject to arrest during the purges, and hundreds of thousands were identified as class enemies. So think about Larry Grathwall, the weatherman whistleblower, the undercover guy. And think about the Obama gang that is still running the executive branch right now. and the Bill Ayers inspired Valerie Jarrett, Samantha Power, Cass Sunstein, all these people. This is what they have planned for us. And we have to realize this. And we are seeing the beginnings of the Politburo being built. California's got a one-party system. Illinois, pretty much one party now. New York, one party. All of our major cities, one party for decades. And so now you're seeing the goofy behaviors that we've never seen before. Even like Trump or hate him, you're seeing the targeting of political enemies all the way to the top. An active candidate for the presidency of our country is now under indictment. I mean, this is, and I agree, whether, you know, we've always had banana republic, but now they're putting it in our face that it's like, yeah, this is how it is, boy. We retained the facade for decades, even though we were still running this shadow government. We still gave you the illusion that this was a peaceful transfers of power and one party takes over, blah, 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 blah. But now you've got these people in that are ready to begin the red terror in our country. Think about what John Moore and them were saying about how many Chinese are here waiting to put on uniforms. And they could be very well American uniforms that are going to be running American gulags. Remember the base realignment and closures, BRAC? Remember all that? You got a bunch of military bases that are mothballed right now. You've got things in this country ready to go. There are camps that have been built. We must get our minds wrapped around the fact. George Soros allegedly handing control of his $24 billion empire to his idiot 37-year-old son, who's probably been tossed around, by the way, and all the by all the creeps. He looks very like he's been pounded out by a bunch of creeps, so we'll see how this plays out, but you know, leftist apocalyptic after Trump appointed judge assigned to Jack Smith's case in Florida. So the lady that appointed that one of the special master in the documents case, she's going to be over this case. Kind of interesting there. All right, folks, enjoy your week if you can, and keep your eyes peeled for some of these events at these pride things, and watch out for Tuesday. All right, we'll see you.
Here goes the last DJ. Well, some folks say they're gonna hang him so high, 'cause you just can't do what he did. There's some things you just can't put in the minds of those kids. As we celebrate mediocrity, all the boys upstairs wanna see how much you'll pay for what you used to get for free. And there goes the last DJ, who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. And there goes the last human voice. And there goes the last DJ.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.